Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This COVID season has presented a lot of challenges for all of us. There are physical challenges, economic challenges, there are emotional challenges. But one subtle area of challenge is in the realm of marriage. Maybe as you and your spouse have been walking through this time, you've sensed a bit of tension that has been unusual, maybe more than might be normal. You're together now in a way that you weren't before. You had schedules that you had learned to live with, but now those have been changed and turned upside down. Maybe when you couple that with the stress of finances or changes in your job, you find yourself getting a little bit hard to get along with, a little bit cranky, and you find yourself taking it out on your spouse or your kids. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to handle the stresses in marriage and how we can use this season to correctly evaluate our marriage, maybe learn some things about ourselves and our marriage. And I'm thrilled tonight to have with us somebody who I have just tremendous admiration for, because he has worked for years with thousands of people in regard to their marriage. Dr. Bob Paul, Vice President of Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. And Bob and his wife, Jenny, have been a part of James River now for over 10 years. And so, Bob, welcome tonight to the prayer meeting. Thank you for taking time to talk with us about marriages.
Well, thank you. It is so exciting to be here. I mean, as you guys know, I've had the opportunity over the years to talk to hundreds of churches, both in the United States and some abroad. And it is such a rare opportunity for me to talk to my church, my family, and be with my pastors. This is really a special time, and I'm just so grateful, so thankful to have the opportunity to be with you tonight.
And you know, something I really appreciate about you and Jenny, you're involved in the church. So you're active in the church. You've been active in the altar work, because you've been active in several areas, in hosting and with all the things that are going on at the church. We really appreciate that. But tonight we're going to draw on your expertise a little bit, ask you some questions. Because you know, I think one of the things I'm concerned about is that people don't make decisions in the valley. I always will counsel people, listen, the worst place to make an evaluation or a decision is when you're down in the valley. Get up on the mountaintop where you can see the lay of the land. And that's especially true with a marriage. It would be a bad deal for people in the middle of a once in 100 years mm-hmm. pandemic to determine the status of their marriage. So maybe could you just talk about some of the struggles that would be a part of married life during this COVID crisis?
Well, you know, I mean, marriage under normal circumstances has opportunities for plenty of challenge. You know, just the fact that we're different, mm-hmm. you know, is a big deal. But when you have your normal life being such that you're able to go and do outside things, go to your jobs if you work outside of the house or whatever, and have some time apart and then come back together, that's one thing. But when you're quarantined, yeah. and you know, there's a stay-at-home order, and you are together constantly, 24/7. All sorts of things start to show up that aren't normally there, stressors and challenges. And it's definitely showing up in one of two ways. I think some couples are discovering, hey, you know, things are really good and we're really doing well, you know, and, you know, teaming it and see a common enemy and they're fighting and they're pulling together as a family and playing games. And then there's the rest of us more normal folks, you know, where all of a sudden there's cracks that have been there that we've just been, you know, ignoring. And all of a sudden those come into tight focus and it's like, oh, that's always irritated me, but now it really irritates me. And then when you add to it things like possible job loss, which I mean, yeah. we're talking 30 plus million mm-hmm. people who have lost their job yes. just in the last 2 months, or health issues or concerns about family members who might be at risk or having health issues, and a slew of other losses. And then kids now that are home full time, and all of a sudden you become a parent. And and I saw a little meme today. Some of you may have seen it, where it's written in like a shoe polish on the side of the car. It said something like, "You lied to me about my kids being good in class." all of a sudden you become, if you weren't a homeschool parent, you're homeschooling.
Yeah.
And it's on and on, and it's just ripe for challenges to come, and we're going, okay, I don't know how to deal with this. What do I do?
Yeah,
there's a song that we sang Sunday, "You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good."
Oh, absolutely.
So I think a question that a lot of people have, is it always the enemy that is creating friction and struggle or stress in a marriage? And what do you think his attack is, specifically right now?
Well, obviously there are real stressors. Yeah. So it's, I don't want to blame Satan for everything. Yeah. I'm not one of those people that sees a demon behind every bush. However, I take him seriously.
Yeah. Yes, that's
and
good.
I work with couples who are struggling on a regular basis. And what I've noticed is that one of his greatest ploys to take couples out is as simple as power struggles.
Yeah.
And here's the way that plays out. And we all can be subject to it in a moment's notice. Okay, so who really, and this is what I'll ask couples, literally when I'm working with them, I'll ask this question. Okay, who ultimately is the enemy of your marriage? So what do they say? The ultimate enemy of their marriage, they're believers, most of the people they work with, they'll say Satan. And then I say, okay, and in the moment of conflict, who do you see as the enemy?
Yeah.
And they all point to their spouse.
Yeah.
And I'll say, absolutely. I mean, it is the single greatest ploy of the enemy to take couples out, because what happens is the moment you square off and you see your spouse as the enemy, you've played right into his hands. The real enemy has you covered. And he can walk out of your house, dust his hands off, and go mess with the neighbors. You're his at that moment. Yeah. And I tell people all the time, your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not the adversary. Yeah, and when you take your eyes off the real adversary, it is a setup. Mm-hmm. God is all about unity.
Mm. Yeah.
And we are, and one of the things I've also seen is that marriage by God's design is a team sport.
Yeah.
And when you're on the same team, you win as a team or you lose as a team.
So good. So good.
So there's somebody out there right now and they're saying, I feel that way. I feel like my spouse is the enemy.
Absolutely.
What's their first step, themselves? What do they do to right their thinking?
Okay, well, it's really important at that point that you don't fall prey to that lie.
Yeah.
That even though it may seem like your spouse is the enemy, even though it may seem as if they're the one that's causing all of your struggle, all of your stress, all of your heartache, that's right what the enemy wants you to believe. And to be able to say, hey, I know it might seem that way, but that's not true. My spouse is not my enemy. My spouse is my teammate. Hopefully my spouse has been my friend. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to my spouse like a friend. I want to extend grace.
That's good. Yeah.
I want to be able to say, hey, this is what I say all the time. You are not going to win in my home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to let that be.
I think it takes that kind of resolve. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that, just from talking to people, it's been interesting, and watching our own marriage during this time. So Debbie's very transparent. So she, because she knows exactly what I'm going to say. Because what happens is you have these personality differences.
Right.
And, the old saying, opposites attract.
Yes.
And so, but they can also have some friction.
Absolutely.
And I think what we saw, especially early on in this, was, so Debbie is an extrovert, and Debbie's a 7 on the Enneagram. So Debbie is very much like, oh, a new season, new. This is so exciting. This is so fun. How in the middle of this can we party? She's looking for all of that. And I am an 8. Mm. And, I like a plan. I like to work a plan. And there's nothing fun about a pandemic to me. And there's nothing fun about my world being turned upside down.
Yeah.
And so she's very optimistic. I'm very much, well, what about this? What about this? You know, you're thinking about all these things. And so what happens is you can find yourself saying, on her hand, why can't you be more joyful and
positive.
Happy and positive? And I'm saying, you know, where did you miss the right turn to reality? And understand what we're up against and what's at stake here and how many obstacles there are. And, you know, so you're working through that in with the Lord. And in prayer, and you know where you want to be, but you can have a tendency. Here's what I think can happen because she's so optimistic by nature, and I want to be there because I believe you need to get there.
Right.
But she can feel that her position is right in the Lord. I can feel my position is right in the Lord. Hey, you need to, you know, pray a little more, you'll be where I'm at, or pray a little more, you'll be where I'm at.
If you could think just a little bit more like me, the whole world would be better.
So, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you, honestly, the first few weeks are very much that. And then for us, it's compounded by the reality, and I'm not looking for a sympathy card, but our world's turned upside down. We feel this huge weight of responsibility to the staff, to the church, to so many decisions that have been made, and so you're sleeping very little. I mean, I would guess the first 10 days, we probably got three nights,
a couple weeks,
three hours of sleep a night, and you're just going on this adrenaline, and you're trying to figure it out.
And your frustration begins to mount because you're not on the same page.
And so, Bob, we just need
Well, you know, and you know, as much as the weight, as much as the weight, well, you know, I don't know if I can help you because Jamie and I went through the exact same thing. So what do you say? Because, you know, as true as that is for you and the additional weight of leadership that's on you, which we all appreciate because we all get that. But the reality is most everybody I know has gone through some version of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie and I were feeling some of the exact same things, and we are also extremely different. She's more the extrovert. I'm more the introvert.
Yeah.
And we just look at the world through a different lens. But, you know, it's so easy to think that differences are really at the core of the problem in marriage. It's so easy to be to think that. Matter of fact, we all know this. The single most commonly cited reason for divorce is irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's so interesting. As I've sat back and worked with couples over all of these years now, what I finally come to realize is that differences are never the true cause of problem in marriage.
Never.
Because think of it this way. Why are the differences there? How did they get there?
Because you like them.
Huh?
You like them originally.
Yes, but you and you two are so incredibly different. Why?
Well, God created us.
Yes, not by accident. Okay? God made us different on purpose with purpose.
Yes.
And so if you were to become more like Debbie, that wouldn't be ideal for this marriage or the world. If you were to become more like John, for goodness sakes, that wouldn't benefit you or the marriage. God created the differences on purpose with purpose, and for us and our marriage to be all that it's supposed to be, those differences need to be honored, recognized for how valuable they are in His mind, in the Creator's mind.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's so
the key is
then
to learn instead, but now, realistically, can the differences be a slight source of conflict or tension?
Sure.
Well, of course they can, because we don't know how to deal with them. We also don't know how always to value them. So really, the problem in marriage is not the differences. It's not knowing how to adequately value them and utilize them as they were intended by the Creator.
So how do you help couples do that?
Well, first
of all, what's an exercise that a couple could at least mentally go through or needs to go through together?
Well, there's a couple of different things. First of all, you mentioned the Enneagram, okay? One of the beauties of the Enneagram or the DISC or some of the other personality tests are you're able to see you and your spouse as different yet valuable people. Mm-hmm. And instead of thinking, that difference, Jenny, that I find a burr in my saddle, actually has value to God. And I need to see the value of that. Matter of fact, I'll tell you one of the things that I do with couples, and this is a mind blower for many people, and a real powerful help. It'll sound absolutely wacky to a non-believer. But to somebody who understands the Lord, this is so powerful. So I'm going to play with you as if I'm working with you, okay?
Oh,
all right, so. Not Debbie's, that's right. Watch out, okay, danger. You invited me here, you didn't know what you're getting into, right? Okay, so when you talk to the Lord, because he challenged me, because I was having issues with Jenny, and he challenged me in this way. So this is what he asked me. When you talk to me, where do you imagine me to be as you're talking to me?
Okay.
This is what the Lord's saying. So when you talk to the Lord, where do you imagine him to be as you're speaking to him?
Right here.
Okay. Yeah. Like right by your side?
Yeah.
I found it was always one of two places for me, either right next to me, or up in heaven on the throne.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But still he's hearing. And he said to me, Bob, why? And I said, what do you mean, why? And then he asked me this, and not all traditions are like that, but I know that this in our Christian tradition, this mm-hmm. is common. When we tell children to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, what do we tell them they need to do?
Invite him into their heart.
Yes. And he says, Bob, is that where I live? Well, I said, well, yeah. Well, then why, when you're talking to me, do you imagine I'm out here or in here? Mm-hmm. I'm in here. And I went, ooh. And he said, not just in your heart, Bob, this is my temple. And you co-reside in here with me head to toe. And here's where it got amazingly powerful. And he helped me to see that when I look through these eyeballs, I have a choice as to whose I'm looking through, mine or his.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And he asked, and I got to,
that's
I asked
powerful.
Him,
that's beautiful.
I asked him, can you let me see Jenny through your eyes? And he started letting me see
wow.
her through his eyes. And I went, oh my gosh. And he was showing me things maybe I'd missed or things I'd seen that I hadn't valued. And he let me see the way he sees her. And mm-hmm. I went, whoa, but it got better. I also got to realize that I get to feel with his heart. And I said, can you let me feel what you feel for her?
Yeah.
And I started to feel it. And I went, oh my gosh, his love was mind-blowing. And then I get to choose my view or his view. You'll be surprised to hear, I generally like his better. My feelings or his feelings. I love the way he feels for her. And I can choose, and I am asking him daily to let me see her through his eyes and let me feel what he feels for her. And that's what has
powerful.
Grown my love beyond measure.
That's so beautiful.
That is such a practical, valuable
it's
insight.
Beautiful.
Powerful. So
and can you
powerful.
You know, for a non-believer, that'll sound like as wacky as you can be, but you know, we oftentimes sound foolish to those who aren't yeah. people who know Christ.
Yeah, it's spiritual wisdom for sure.
Yeah.
What do you say to somebody who says, you know, Bob, the fact of the matter is I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
I've been unhappy for years, and I think God wants me to be happy. I'm sure you've heard that many times. What do you say to people in that circumstance?
I'm leaving my marriage because I'm just not happy anymore. I don't feel any feelings for love. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, there's a way in which I'll agree with them, because the truth of the matter is I'm convinced God absolutely wants us to be happy. Matter of fact, personally, I'm a little partial to happy. I kind of like happy. And if I had a choice between more or less happy, I choose happy.
Yeah.
However, there are circumstances in this world, like let's say a global pandemic, that don't lend themselves to happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And happy is not the right feeling at that point. And happy, I pray happy is not the measure of a marriage. Now, I'll give you an example of not happy, where I realized it, because you guys were there with us when this happened. You know, I'm a grandpa, and I love being a grandpa. My favorite job of all. And I tell people I have six grandchildren. What I don't always tell them right away is only five of them are alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when our little grandbaby got sick
yeah.
and then died, and then we had her service in Clark Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how you were there for me at that point. And there's nothing about that mm-hmm. I would have wished on anybody. There's nothing about that was part of the journey that I would have, had I been able to write
sure.
my life script.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to choose that. I got to choose how I showed up. And that could have been at times in our marriage where we weren't doing so well, that could have caused us to spin out. Mm-hmm. But by God's grace, Jenny and I had turned a corner and we were in a different place and we spun in. And I remember night after night, we laid in bed holding each other, crying. Not sure, what does this mean? What do we do? Where do we go in our heart with that? But we went together there and we grieved together.
Yes.
And right now there's a whole lot of grief that people are feeling, a whole lot of fear that people are feeling, because there are legitimately challenges out there that we don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And the enemy wants us to see that as a point of division. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
And he wants it to cause us to separate. And it's an opportunity for us to grieve together, to be uncertain together, to be afraid together, and share those feelings. And, you know, a lot of times people think that the most powerful bonding experiences are the ones that happen in the good times, in the celebrations. Truthfully, not the case. The most powerful bonding that can ever occur in a marriage is when you share the hard times together. Because if you've got a friend that you think is a great friend that you can only count on when times are good, but in the slightest sign of difficulty, they hightail it and run, what do we call that kind of a friend?
Fair weather
friend. That's a fair weather friend. And it's because if you can't count on someone to be with you when the chips are down, you can't count on a person.
That's right.
And when you realize that you've got someone you can count on to be with you, by your side, not trying to fix you, not trying to change you, just be by your side in the difficult times, that's someone you can count on. That creates a foundation that's so solid that it's like it blows the roof off, and you can now share the good times, the celebrations, the victories at a level far beyond.
Wow.
So right now, we've got lots of challenges. There are lots of challenges that we have that we're facing right now, and lots of uncertainty. And God has given us a golden opportunity to find each other and find Him in the midst of those.
Absolutely.
So
we've
powerful.
Got some resources that you're making available. We've got, tell us a little bit about it. We're going to put the websites up on the screen so that people can see those and check those out. Give us just a little rundown of what's available for people.
Well, you mentioned getting to know each other better. We have an online assessment. I know you mentioned it on Sunday. We have an online assessment free that you can take, and you've got the website there of where to go to get it. And what it does is, you know, you take 5-10 minutes, you answer a few questions, and it actually assesses your marriage on 12 different traits of what we found, these 12 traits that are common in strong marriages. And it rates them in terms of what are the strongest. It shows you what your three strongest relational areas are, and maybe three of the greater growth areas. And if you both take that, and again, it's free. You just, you know, it takes almost no time. You both take that, you'll each get a profile. And Jenny and I did this the other day, and we were able to compare, which, you know, was interesting how similar, there's some interesting differences, but how similar they are. So it's just free and it's there. And we've had, I don't know, 100,000 people take the test. It's really been incredibly
possible. So you would
say that
would be beneficial for even someone that's been married for
absolutely.
A while.
Or if somebody's marriage, if honestly, you would talk with them and say, boy, this marriage is in trouble. They take the assessment, it's not gonna make it worse.
It's gonna point out probably where the areas are that they feel are difficult, but I don't know that it'll make it worse.
Gives them a point of conversation.
What does somebody do if they were here and they're like, Bob, our marriage is in trouble, we need help. What do we do?
Absolutely, one of the things that you can do is we've got also a list of resources, and particularly ones that are, we've got a whole slew. Focus on the Family has resources, you know, just galore. And you can go to our website and find that, but there are specifically ones that were created for the quarantine.
Okay.
And, you know, for what you're struggling with there. But if you are struggling in your marriage in general, and maybe you were struggling before the whole COVID-19 thing. We have counselors that you can call at Focus. We also have a program that I am blessed to be able to run called Hope Restored. And it's for couples that are in crisis. And I think you've got the website up there. It's hoperestored.com. And it'll give you access to information on what we do. This is an intensive program. We only work with people for anywhere from 3, 4 to 5 days max. And it's all day.
And you and I were talking, don't you have Scott scholarships that are available for people?
We have scholarships. We've given away a couple of $1 million of scholarships in the last few years to help people that were having struggles financially. And there's a graded scale to see what you qualify for. But we've decided, because this is my home, that we talked among and for James River for the through the end of 2020. We're going to give a $500 scholarship to anybody that calls us, and just you have to mention James River Church, and you'll get a $500 scholarship, no matter whether you qualified for it or not.
Yeah.
Just because this is, again, this is our family.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful gift.
This has been such a great time with you, and what I'd like to ask you to do is I'd like to ask you to pray over the marriages of James River Church, and certainly doing what you do, you've got a complete understanding or a very full understanding of what it's like. I want to say to people that are watching tonight, if your marriage is having some friction, or you're wondering if you should stay married, you're starting to think thoughts like that, listen, we want to encourage you to be very, very careful where you go in your thought life. To look to the Lord, to seek help, to seek counsel. Now is not the time to decide the future of your marriage. It would be a bad decision to do that. There are some of you and you say, hey, our marriage is great. We praise God for that. And that's awesome. So people are at different stages in their marriage. But right now, I would like to ask, if you're married, husbands and wives, would you take one another's hand? And would you, as Bob leads us in prayer, would you agree in prayer that God's going to strengthen your marriage, that God's going to build strength where there's weakness and restore hope where some have succumbed to hopelessness?
Yes.
So, Bob, would you lead us in prayer right now?
I would be honored.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, I am so grateful to be here with John and Debbie and with my church family this evening. And Lord, we know that there are challenges that we are facing. And you know, Lord, that there are challenges that we are facing. And Lord, there are couples out there that are really struggling. And couples maybe that weren't struggling before that now are seeing struggles. And we know that the enemy wants that to complete. The enemy wants us dead. The enemy wants us destroyed. And we know that is not your will. We know that you want us to thrive in our lives and thrive in our marriages. And Lord, I ask right now that you hold the enemy at bay for everybody who is listening, and that you would help us, Lord, to find our way to you, and you would help us to find our way to each other, Lord. I know that you love us. We are your children, and you want nothing but the best for us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask that your will would be done and that your purposes would be fulfilled in our lives personally, in our marriages, and in our families. And we ask this in your blessed and holy name, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.